Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 404, and no, it is not a page error. This is WrestleMania Predictions Night. With me are Jared Aubrey and Seth Zillman, and fellas, the time is nigh. It is finally here. It is WrestleMania weekend, and it is extra large. How the hell are you?
Yep, we got this big show to talk about this weekend. No, it's not Paul White. It's a big wrestling show we look forward to every year. Of course, I'm talking about Sakura Genesis for New Japan. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, Tavania. There is Sakura Genesis, but that only concerns me. Great to be here, and it'll be interesting to see how well we do on our predictions.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do fairly well on my predictions. I think I'm going to get two wrong. Kind of where I'm going right now. We'll see what happens, but yeah, taking over the lead this weekend, fellas.
Wow, you're just completely assuming Paul Levesque's booking strategy for the weekend.
I don't have a fucking clue what I'm doing.
Yeah, this could easily be all over the place.
Oof.
But before we get to the PLE, we have two news items. One is that Cody Rhodes was on the Pat McAfee show live from WWE World earlier today, and he revealed that last night, or I should say earlier this morning at about 1 a.m., his bus caught on fire. His bus driver alerted everybody. Everybody got off the bus safely. There were no injuries. Cody jokingly said the first couple of things he grabbed in case this was the end for his bus was a picture of his wife, a picture of his daughter, and his WrestleMania boots, and he headed off the bus. So when Pat was asking him the status, were you able to save some things, and he goes, well, let's just say there will be a smell emanating from my suits for a little while. So hopefully that'll be able to be repaired, but above all else, thank God nobody was injured or hurt, especially in a situation overnight when a lot of people should be sleeping.
Yeah, I just can't help but wonder if that'll prompt him to change any entrance music, because we didn't start the fire by Billy Joel, or smoking the water, or burning for you by Blue Oyster Cult, or stuff like that.
On Fire by Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of was, oh, geez, the final boss torched his bus.
Wouldn't be the first time they burned buses in WWE.
And the second news item is that Triple H was also on the Pat McAfee show earlier today at WWE World. And somebody asked him about a WWE draft. And he said that we will be having one in about a month or so. So wherever we are coming out of Mania, Raw, SmackDown, NXT will only continue as we know it for about 4 to 6 weeks. We'll be shaking the landscape.
Yeah, well, NXT is supposed to be going to what, CW, I think?
In October, NXT goes to the CW, SmackDown goes to the USA Network, Raw goes to Netflix in January, and they still haven't announced or found a home for Raw from October 1 to 12/31. So,
any of those dates is still a lot more than 6 weeks away. So,
right. So, we will have to see.
Something's brewing.
At least they'll have the draft way before Survivor Series. Not that they do brand versus brand anymore, but as long as we continue on the War Games tradition and not the brand versus brand garbage, the draft really won't matter. And just like they've proven every year, it rarely matters more than a week.
I was actually going to say, geez, it's probably going to be the first draft that Triple H is in full control of, so maybe it'll actually mean something this year.
the entire NXT roster has been called up to the main roster. I want my children, damn it. So we will have to see how that plays out in the spring. Backlash in May is in Paris, France. So I would imagine perhaps when they get back, but we'll have to see. That's coming down the pike later this spring. But let us get to the main event of this episode, so to speak. And we will start things off with WrestleMania Saturday and with the match that will likely open the show because it has been requested that way. And I would imagine at least one person in this match usually gets their way. So to open our predictions and possibly open WrestleMania, we will predict the women's world title match. Rhea Ripley, current champion, who is reported to be getting a special live introduction performance of her theme by the band who sings it, versus the man, Becky Lynch.
Well, I was already making this prediction anyway, but I'm going to stick with this prediction because we all know the track record of people that get live intros for their songs. And I'm predicting Becky's going to win the title. Now, I'm fine with Rhea retaining, but, I mean, it's been a year. They can say it's almost a one-year-to-the-day title reign. But, yeah, I think the time's right. Let's have Becky win it. They can continue the feud. They're going over to, Scotland in a couple months. So, yeah, I'm thinking Becky takes the title.
I'm not so certain about that. Becky's in the middle of a contract negotiation, and she doesn't need it at this point. I'm still in favor of a dominant mommy, so I'm going to say Rhea retains.
It's hard to negotiate when you haven't been offered a deal. So she has two
talks.
Well, depends on who you believe.
Right.
This is going to sound extremely hypocritical when we get to night two, but that is one of the reasons I'm making my prediction. The other reason, other than just fandom and, you know, everything that comes along with that, Becky has stated in interviews recently that she doesn't need the title. She would prefer there be more storylines in the women's division away from the title to lift up the division.
Well, she's not wrong.
Right. So for those reasons, and as I've said in recent episodes of our show, I think it would be a huge feather in the cap for Rhea to defeat 50% of the four horsewomen in 1 year's time. And also, if you consider that Liv Morgan is not even on this card, I think I would like to see Rhea retain and then immediately pivot to that feud with Liv, which I think could be good to great. So yeah, all those things considered, I am going with Rhea retaining. In a tag match playa that was just altered earlier tonight for whatever reason, the LWO, now consisting of Rey Mysterio and Andrade, will take on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio, where I get to practice all my horrible accents.
Shit. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I saw that lineup before I watched SmackDown, so that was kind of spoiled for me a little bit because I really hadn't seen much of Andrade since he came back. So I just assumed he had come back as a good guy. So I had it down that that Andrade was going to turn on Rey and join Santos, but he just turned on Santos tonight, so. I'm not sure but I think I'm just going to say the heels win anyway, because it was a year ago they did Rey versus Dominic, right?
Correct.
And I think Ray won that match, correct? I think. I remember. But anyway, I'm predicting the bad guys win this time. So Santos and Dominic get the win.
Well, this kind of turn by Andrade throws a little bit of a wrench into the equation for me, because is it, you know, enrages. Yeah, sure, come on over. There was no questioning anything, whatever. It's just like, yeah, sure, I'll trust you. So is there another swerve coming or something else happening? I don't know. But I'm going to go with the heels as well. I'm going to go with Santos and Dominic.
Oh, there's another swerve / turn coming, but it's not from Andrade.
It's not from Swerve Strickland either.
It's from
wrong company.
It's cool guy.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm picking Santos and Dominic to win as well, because Carlito will turn heel on Rey Mysterio after being passed over not once but twice.
That's a good call.
Match. So if you saw the backstage segment tonight, Carlito for like 1.3 seconds looks extremely jealous before patting Andrade on the back, trying to find where that knife's going to go. Yeah. So heels to win. Dom gets his win back from a year ago. And I'm wondering if Dom is going to leave Judgment Day and join Legado del Fantasma. That would be interesting. And I would I'd be in for that. That would give a little credence to that faction, because it's kind of been fledgling a little bit. But yeah. I kind of like that. So maybe we'll see that down the line.
And if you still want to do the he's being manipulated by women, you could just put Electra Lopez in that role then.
Or if you don't want to write the story, make it up and have Dom drafted to SmackDown and everybody else stays on Raw. Okay. In a women's trios match, and I will continue to use trios because it just sounds better, damn it.
And just six women?
Yeah. Damage control of Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane, and Asuka, the tag champions, the Kabuki Warriors, taking on Naomi, Bianca, and Jade.
I am going with the heels winning here again, but I will get to that later as to why, because I got a 2-day-long angle in my head here. But I'm just going to say damage control wins here.
I can't imagine that Jade Cargill is going to lose her first match. So therefore, I think the faces are going to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the shortest match of the night and basically a showcase for Jade.
Yeah.
So,
and that very well may be true.
Yeah, I too am picking the babyfaces to win. The only negative really that's coming out of this is the women's tag titles are not on the line. At Mania, they weren't even on the line on SmackDown WrestleMania or WrestleMania SmackDown, whatever they called it. Okay. In probably the most difficult match to predict on the entire two nights, for the undisputed tag team titles in a six-pack ladder match, the match does not stop until both sets of titles have been retrieved. Defending champions Judgment Day of Damian Priest and Finn Balor take on DIY, Awesome Truth, The New Day, A-Town Down Under, and the New Catch Republic. Now, you can do one of two things. You can pick one team to pull both belts down, or you can pick two teams that will each pick one set of belts down. Either will be fine. You will not get additional points for picking two versus one, but you do have either option available to you.
Yeah, so basically, as long as we get one right, if we pick two, we still get the points, right?
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because that's what I did, and that's probably the fairest way to do it. I have it as I'm not sure who's going to win either title. I guess it really doesn't matter, but I have it as the New Day and DIY winning, because we know Hunter's always liked Johnny and Tommaso, so I think it's only natural that they might win here. So, and the New Day, they're vets. They haven't had tag title run in a while, so it just makes sense to me. So I'm picking New Day and DIY, and they split up the titles.
I, too, am going to go for a split on the titles. I have one of the same teams that Seth does. I also have DIY, but I'm going to go with Awesome Truth. Mm-hmm. It's time to give R-Truth some damn due. Mm-hmm.
I can't help but think that it's going to be some sort of spot where he's just doesn't know it's a ladder match or something. And I can't say he grabs the wrong belt, but well,
my bad.
You know, they're going to do something where he, you know, looks like he might win with a different tag partner or something. I can see them definitely doing something like that.
Two points I want to bring up before I make my prediction. One being an R-Truth comedy spot. What if he grabbed one red and one blue? Then what?
I would think that would mean that his team would win both belts, but...
Well, if you got to pull all four down, I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just spitballing. But also, wouldn't it be funny if they kind of pulled on some WCW Battle Bowl days where, let's say, Finn Balor grabs mm-hmm. one red one and Tommaso Ciampa grabs the other red one. Does that mean that Finn right. and Tommaso are champs now?
Yeah, they do it at the exact same time.
Yeah, let's make new teams out of this. And they're all of a yeah. sudden champions.
Yeah, that definitely would sound like a Russo idea.
Yeah, I was going to say that's completely overbooked. And unless you're in the main event, there's no overbooking, damn it.
I think that I would like to unsubscribe for about 12 of my newsletters.
Yeah, I could change your mind on some of these other matches. But I am going for also the Awesome Truth to give Truth his due, because damn it, funny should equal money, and he needs at least a short run. At least a short run.
Yeah, something besides that hardcore title.
Yeah, he's been tag champs before, but mm-hmm. it'll give him and Miz something to do. I'm all for giving him his flowers with a championship run, for even if it's 4 weeks. And the other team I'm picking is the new Catch Republic of Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. And they even came out with matching gear tonight. So that lends credence to my pick as well. So that is that. And we shall move on to perhaps another difficult one to pick. I don't know. I'm sure. I know I've gone back and forth several times, but it is for the Intercontinental title as the Ring General Gunther takes on Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I've considered both of these options as well. Either way, it could make sense. But I think it's just time. Let's give Sammy a run with a singles belt. I think he finally topples and wins the title from the Ring General. I'm all for a Sami Zayn win now. Thank you. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, this is one of those ones I'm having a hard time with. And I love the Rocky callback in Sammy's promo about, damn it, I'm scared. All right. That was a great chunk of work right there. And I don't know if he's the guy, but at the same time, he could be the guy. Just the whole Chad Gable thing has got me. I don't know what to do with that and how he fits into things. Would it be him and Sammy next, or is he still going to go after Gunther? I don't know.
Or was Chad going to turn on Sammy, which is why I'm kind of thinking both ways on this.
Yeah. So for now, this one, I'm going to keep thinking about this one. I could change this. I got a few hours yet, but I'm going to go with Gunther for now. I could very well end up changing this.
In the words of Ludwig Kaiser, he demands all of your attention, and I am picking the Ring General to retain the Intercontinental title because I do not believe in Sami Zayn.
Wow.
I did last year. I'm not saying I'm down on Sami Zayn. I'm saying they didn't spend enough time with this build. And throwing a last-minute hometown Rocky reference in is just pandering as far as I'm concerned. So with Bash at Berlin coming up later in the year, I think they're going to want to have Gunther as Intercontinental Champion unless Sami does win here. Cody wins on night two, and you go to Cody Gunther in Berlin, which is not out of the realm of possibility. But I'm sticking with Gunther, steamrolling along and continuing. In a singles match, that is brother versus brother, Oos versus Oos, No Yeet versus Yeet, Jimmy takes on Jay.
Yeah, this one I think is going to be pretty straight up. And again, this is a two-night booking here. I think we're going to go, or me at least, go with Yeet. I think the good guy wins this one. I think Jay topples his brother, and that would seemingly send the good guys in with some momentum in the for night two.
I also have some two-night booking in mind, but I don't have the same booking in mind. I think that, as I've mentioned before, as we talk about this feud, I think this could be the start of something and not necessarily the finish. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to go on an extended feud, I can't imagine it with these guys just having one match and that's done. There's going to be at least a trilogy. In that case, I'm going to go with Jimmy to win. And then that also takes one of Cody's Avengers out of the mix, or perhaps in a much weakened state. So for when Cody finally does finish the story, then it's like, you know, it's a bigger thing to overcome with not as much help there.
So you're Team No Yeet.
I'm Team No Yeet. still Team Bloodline.
Well, I see both points. And the only thing that's holding me back from agreeing with Jarrett is just presentation. Jay is a much bigger deal than Jimmy is in their respective singles careers. And I don't know how many thousands the link holds, but I'm looking forward to that visual of everybody's hands bopping up and down with Jay when he comes in. I don't know what to expect from this match anymore, just based on the build alone. We know they can go as a team. Will they really gel one-on-one against each other? That's remains to be seen. But I'm going to agree with Seth for the prediction, and I'm going to go Jay, main event, Uso.
He is a bigger deal. That's why he's going to win the trilogy.
No trilogy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine with that if it happens, but you know, they could still go J Jimmy J. Doesn't have to go Jimmy J J. And I'm going to tongue tie myself with all the J's. All right, in the main event of epic proportions, in a tag match, which should have been announced by Teddy Long, the stakes for the night two main event are on the line. If the Bloodline wins, it is Bloodline rules on Sunday night. If Cody and Seth win, then it's a fair fight and Bloodline will not be around and not be at ringside because we have the final boss's word on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Bloodline of the final boss, The Rock, and the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, take on the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and Seth freaking Rollins in the only match, for the most part, that has had an A-plus build on the road to WrestleMania.
Yep. And I get the feeling we're going to hit a trifecta with this one. Because, and the only reason I think it's going this way is because The Rock has just been in full-on heel mode. If he was being a little bit more unbiased, I think the good guys would stand a chance of winning here, but I think the Bloodline are going to win, probably through cheating, and will lead to the all hope looking lost for the Heroes. I don't know whether Cody and Seth will unveil their hand for tomorrow night, meaning their backup, so to speak, that we, well, actually, it was more Josh predicted that, you know, whether we'd get Austin or Cena, if we'd wait till tomorrow to unveil that. But yeah, I think the bad guys win this. Bloodline gets their moment to strut under the stars, so to speak. All hope looks to be lost, and it sets up the final showdown for tomorrow. Yeah. Was that over the top enough?
you can't have the Bloodline rule stipulation and not follow up on that. It also beats the crap out of both Seth and Cody. So Seth helping is a little bit out of the picture. Cody's weakened for the match against Roman. So of course, when he does win, and again, that much bigger. So the Bloodline are going to just destroy the crap out of them eventually here. The Bloodline wins.
Yeah. Basically what's been said. You can't do Bloodline rules, anything goes, and set all that into hysteria with fantasy booking and then just do a fair fight on Sunday night because the good guys won. Yay! So this is Bloodline wins, Bloodline ambush, Bloodline beatdown, Bloodline draws blood. Yeah, oh, it's all going down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Bloodline to win. And I don't think there's any surprises revealed on Saturday. The whole point of a surprise is that it stays a surprise. Unlike 2 years ago when Austin came out Saturday and Austin came out Sunday. Sunday was technically a surprise, but you knew he was coming based on where it was going.
Still so, the best sell of a stunner I think I saw was Pat McAfee taking that stunner.
No, and the beer falling out of his mouth, or pouring out of his mouth. That was great.
And then he's like creeping towards the beer, the can of beer afterwards.
Yeah. And I will go on record that it's not Cena or Austin. It's Cena and Austin. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Because now we are on to night two, which has not as much star power as night one and one less match as night one. But that, I believe, is because there's reportedly a mystery segment that is blocked out for time, featuring either a big return or a big surprise. So all that is rumor, but there is one less match on Sunday's card. But we will start things off with a Philadelphia street fight match between the pride of Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits taking on the final testament of Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain.
Yeah, I think I'm going to use a similar logic Jarrett used earlier. I mean, this is the first real big match for the villains to be here. So I'm thinking the final testament win this. I don't know if it'll continue after that, but I think the bad guys win this one.
Yeah, I agree with that just because I really didn't know who to pick. This is a complete toss-up for me. So I'm like, well, maybe with, you know, AOP being involved, they can get a big win and let's just give it to them. That's really my reasoning. I don't have anything figured out for this at all.
If only they gave us a reason to care.
Exactly.
This is probably the match where I will go get something to eat. But I will use logic here in this fashion. It is a Philadelphia street fight. There's rumors that the WWE has gotten in communications with Jason Kelsey. Not the other Kelsey that's dating Taylor Swift, but his brother who just retired from the Philadelphia Eagles. So I will guess that Jason Kelsey gets involved and helps the babyfaces, and I am picking the pride of Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, and I still hate that faction name.
Hey, Josh, before you go
yes,
on,
sir.
You made the comment about a segment being blocked out and there being one less match on night two. So I read a thing where the main event, like Roman Cody, is supposed to go on forever. Oh, and there's going to be all kinds of shenanigans, all kinds of twists and turns, all kinds of drama. And this is going to eat up a large portion of the evening. So I don't know what y'all have heard about that. And how this segment plays into that. But anyway, that's what I've read.
If they do an additional segment plus the length of that, then oof. It's going to be a lot to get through.
Yeah,
they're going to be emotionally drained and then expected to watch a press conference afterwards and be like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, they probably want to tell a hell of a story in this main event. They're going to give it plenty and plenty and plenty of time.
Well, you're talking, what, a near 4-year title reign ending?
Well, we still will get there. But next, we have the United States title match. Logan Paul defending the United States title against Randall Keith Orton and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, this is one that, honestly, I think they could go any way on, and it would still work. But in the end, I am going to go with Jarrett's favorite wrestler, Randy Orton. Because to my knowledge, I don't think he's held the U.S. title, has he? They could put it as they could say it's a career first time, but yeah, I think Orton will win simply so they can say he finally won the U.S. title.
See, my thought is Orton doesn't need a mid title. That, given Logan Paul's kind of sneaky nature, that, you know, as they talked about it in the show tonight. On the KO show, is like, you know, tonight we're good, but we're buds tonight. You know, tomorrow we're competing for a championship. So I suspect there'll be a point where, you know, Owens and Orton are going to be going at it. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah. Kind of sneaks in there and steals a win. So he's going to retain. And I hate making that prediction. I want to puke and perhaps put a fork in my eye in making that prediction, but I have to make it anyway because points.
Well, I too am picking Logan to retain, and for one of the reasons being that SummerSlam is in Cleveland and Logan Paul is all over the marketing, and it kills me that we're making these, well, at least I'm making these predictions based on future events. Gunther's going to retain because they're going to Germany. Logan's going to retain because they're going to Cleveland. Drew's going to win the title because they're going to Scotland. It's like, what is going on in this world that we're able to have that much confidence in hometown favoritism? Anyway, I'm going with Logan retaining. And if you don't like the Cleveland SummerSlam answer, you can then just say it's because the Prime logo will be in the ring. So there you go.
And you can do what Paul Heyman told you to do.
I'm going to leave that alone. In a singles match, you could call it a grudge match by this point, but one AJ Styles will take on LA Knight. Yeah.
You know, this feud's been going on for quite a while. I'm assuming it's coming to the end. So,
yeah,
I'm going with LA Knight to win.
Think I can maybe sum this up in one word. Yeah.
With everybody saying whose game it is, LA Knight.
Yeah.
And then maybe catapulting himself to SummerSlam to take on Logan Paul in Cleveland and winning a goddamn title for a change. So, yeah, I'm early booking SummerSlam. So there you go.
I'll take those 12 subscriptions back now that you said that.
You might want to hold that thought because of the next match. Women's title, Io Sky defends against former president, founder of Damage Control, Bayley. And Bayley was supposed to get a special entrance, but she wasn't able to, The way she said it, I don't think she was able to book Paramore because of scheduling. So they might be out on tour or something, or maybe have another gig. But she was supposed to have a special entrance, not anymore.
Okay, well, this was one of the two-night booking things that I was talking about. I am actually thinking EO is going to win here because I think Jade is turning. Now, I could be way off on that. That's kind of swinging for the fences, but hence why I booked the villains to win earlier, is because Jade will phone it in that match. But, I'm saying EO retains and Jade becomes the new damage control centerpiece, you might say.
And this is another one that pains me greatly to make this prediction, but I think this story has to write itself, and I think Bayley needs to win here, so damn it. Did it again.
Maybe we'll just edit that to say Jarrett's points wins the title because Jarrett does not want to speaketh the name.
Not wrong.
For the WWE World title, with special guest commentator CM Punk, Seth Rollins defends against the best character-based heel in 2024, who will have a special entrance, Drew McIntyre.
Well, like I said, we have seen a pattern with people who get these special entrances at WrestleMania. So believe it or not, I am predicting Seth to retain. But again, we were just talking about they're going to Scotland, which is where Drew is from. So I think they're going to have a rematch where Drew wins the title there. So, but I'm predicting Seth retain. Plus, the good guys would have lost the first night there. Here, they get a measure of, well, revenge probably isn't a word unless Drew gets involved in that tag match. But, since Seth was on the losing team the first night, he actually gets a win the second night by beating Drew.
And that's Drew actually being from Scotland, as opposed to
right, where
they made us think he was from last Clash at the Castle. No, right. We're in Drew's backyard. I don't know any backyards that are 5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what happens in this match, I don't think Seth Rollins is leaving WrestleMania with a title in his hands. So whether Drew beats him or whether there's a money in the bank cash in, I think he's coming home empty-handed. I think this is probably, Seth's got a point that, Seth Rollins, loses in night one. Does he lose again in night two? It also helps take him out of the equation for the big match. It's also a thank you, Drew, for, and here's your moment that you didn't get in front of the zero fans in the pandemic. Also lets him be champ going back home. So I'm actually going to go with Drew McIntyre.
Here's my hypocritical opposite end of the bookend. I am not giving Becky the title because a contract expires in 2 months. I am giving Drew the title, even though he doesn't have an extension yet. So yes, I am a hypocrite. I think I want to believe the reports that both sides are working towards a deal, that nothing has been announced yet, but I do not think they would heat up Drew this much and have you waiting for that feud with Punk when he comes back, if Drew's just going to be in AEW at the end of the summer. So I'm banking on the fact that he resigns. And they too, because they will give him the title. Mm. And I don't feel that this is a Bret Hart WCW situation, because if he doesn't sign, they can always pull the title off of him. And I'm sure he would do business. So for all those reasons, and for the way he's just cooked for the last 4 months, I think Drew has to win the title here.
He is doing some of the best work of his entire career right now. And I don't mean to butt in, but you know, I've been reading, maybe it's a joke that's over my head, but I'm actually am reading stuff where people think that MJF is going to make his debut and run in during this match. Like I said, maybe that's some sort of joke. It's over my head, but
I've seen that and I laugh at every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say that I saw footage earlier today of Drew handing two cupcakes from that bakery to William Regal to give to CM Punk, who was 50 yards to the left. Drew, if you don't win this title this weekend, I still commend you, sir. Ah, he is savage in every best way possible. Which brings us to the culmination of the weekend. For the WWE Undisputed Universal title, in what we all assume will be a Bloodline rules match where, by definition, anything goes, which is sad that that's more clear than the tribal whatever match it was between Jay and Roman that they said it was one rule and then that rule never applied. But anyway, Bloodline rules, anything goes, everybody and their mother, for real, will probably interfere in this match.
Roman Wait, you're saying Atta's going to interfere, The Rock's mother?
You never know. She was at the Hall of Fame tonight.
She's probably going to be at ringside, yeah.
she was at ringside. Oh, and just quick side note, when Roman came out to introduce and induct the wise man, before he came out and Corey Graves said, everybody acknowledge your tribal chief, I loved the cut to Nia Jax, who held up the finger. That is the first time they've tied her to this family that she's a part of in any way, shape, or form. And even though it was just off the cuff, I loved it anyway. But, and also she doesn't have a match on this show. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Another person to interfere. The tribal chief, the head of the table, seconded by the final boss, will be defending against the American Nightmare, the guy looking to finish his fucking story so we can be done with it already, Cody mother effing Rhodes.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement here. I think Cody is winning. It's going to be one of the biggest pops in the history of time. This is what I was meaning about my other two-night booking from earlier. What I think is going to be if catalyst is the word, but the actual turning point, yeah, we're going to get Cena, we're going to get Austin, we're going to have this big brawl all over ringside, you know, to hither and yon and all places in between. But just when it looks like Cena goes down, Austin goes down, the villain, you know, Roman's getting ready, looks like it's just going to be a matter of time, that's when all of a sudden Jimmy pops up. Jimmy turns, rejoins his brother. They topple Roman, and everybody celebrates at the end of the... That I think they could explain it. They don't have to explain it, but they could explain it that maybe the brothers just said, look, whichever one of us wins our match, we're going to be brothers by the end of the next night. They don't have to explain it that way, but I think that's what's going to happen. Jimmy's actually going to turn and rejoin his brother after their hellacious battle the night before. And the good guys finally triumph.
So his nonsensical heel turn is combated by a nonsensical face turn?
Yes.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I read a scenario earlier where the heels are so far, like, because it's Bloodline rules and The Rock has set all this up, that you know, all the Avengers, if you want to keep using that word, get decimated, and they've handed the match to Roman on a platter, who ends up losing. So yeah, my prediction, by the way, is Cody. Cody's going to win. I hate making it again, but got it because points. But then The Rock is pissed off afterwards, and that's going to set up, you know, Roman will go away. Rock kind of takes things over for a little bit, and that sets up their match for later. I kind of like that scenario. I think if anyone was going to turn, it's going to be The Rock. But I'm not sure it's going to happen right at WrestleMania.
Yeah, again, it could be something that carries over to SummerSlam or Clash at the Castle or something like that, where Cody beats Rock, and then at the end of the match, Rock just admits Cody was the better man, raises his hand, all that jazz.
Jarrett, you're leaving out a whole hell of a lot of the story. Unless you're just leaving it for me to fill in.
Well, dude, we've been here for an hour already. How long do you want me to talk for?
Okay, so Jarrett and I have debated this offline for weeks now. And every time I get a new piece of information, I wish I hadn't heard it, because then I change my mind again. And what a difference a year makes, because Jarrett and I both picked the Tribal Chief to retain while Seth picked Cody to win the title. And Jarrett and I laughed all the way to the proverbial points bank afterwards because we were right. But a lot has changed in a year. And while there are many, many reasons, including 100+ more days of reasons to have Roman retain, if you want that Hogan record, if you want that next record, there's no chance in hell he'll ever beat Bruno, because nobody has that type of attention span. But I have said that Cody has to win, because if you beat him again, you will lose 95% of your audience, and they will not buy into anything related to Cody again, because why would they? And it's going to be the boy who cried wolf all over again. And even Cody himself earlier this week has stated if he doesn't win and take the title on Sunday, he would not blame the fans for turning on him. So there's that. But then I see something earlier today that says, oh, WWE has released 24 new live events for the 2024. Oh, look, June 28th in Madison Square Garden, SmackDown. I'm like, ah, hell. But I'm like, that's still way before September when the Hogan record would be. So if it was after September, then I would be like, well, hell, I might have to pick Roman to retain. But that's in June, which is also well before the Hogan record. So, with all that being said, I too am picking Cody to finish the damn story, which is his story. It does not mean that the Bloodline story is over. But Jarrett and I have also talked and discussed that this has to end with Cody himself beating Roman Reigns. Yep. Whether it's the three crossroads again, it cannot end with Cody pinning after a Uso super kick. It cannot end after a Haluva kick, a pop-up powerbomb, a stunner, whether it's KO or Steve Austin, attitude adjustment, whatever the case. It cannot end off of one of those moves, because then Cody will have needed help, even though he's getting help, so to speak. He has to do it himself. All the Avengers have to take out Thanos by leveling out the playing field. Cody's win has to come by his own hands. Otherwise, this is a giant clusterfuck.
Agreed, but I do think you will see all those finishers. They're just going to be done to the other Bloodline members throughout the course of the match.
Yeah. Perfectly fine. Like I said, if it takes out if it levels out the playing field outside the ring, I mean, people can pass through the ring, whatever, but it cannot be by anybody's hand but Cody's.
I would actually 100%. Love to see, you know, Cody, like Roman about to win, like Cody is dead on the canvas and Roman's about to set up for a spear or something. And then, you know, all of that happens. Everybody comes in and they all, it's like, finisher on Roman, finisher on Roman, finisher on Roman, finisher on Roman, like nine of them in a row. Roman is dead on the canvas. Cody gets up and slowly crawls his way over and puts a hand on Roman's chest for the pin. And then at 2.99999 whatever, you know, Roman's shoulder just barely comes up and they can finish the match.
And he buries everybody's finisher. Fuck all your help and your finishers. I'm a tribal chief.
I think I said it before, but I'd like to see something like we saw at the Clash of the Castle last year, maybe it was the year before, during the Gunther Sheamus match, where they're just doing the death stare to each other in the ring while everybody else is just beating the hell out of each other at ringside. I think that'd be a hell of a visual right there.
I have run so many fantasy booking thoughts, so many scenarios in my head and how Roman can possibly win this. And it's like, no, Cody. Cody must win. And it pains me greatly. I still acknowledge you, my tribal chief.
I acknowledge you need a vacation.
Yeah.
Well, that's iffy when you've been off, when you took half of 2023 off, but whatever. Let's do a slap and maybe a spear from Mama Rhodes, and then Cody pins him 1, 2, 3. I take out undercover cops and tribal chiefs, bitches.
But just think though, if after this, in this scenario that I read plays out where Rock kind of ousts Roman and
I'm the high chief
and Roman goes away and the Rock is this badass, nasty MF-er that just runs things with an iron fist. And then Roman comes back and he's like the ultimate baby face again to face the Rock. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Remember we were saying, well, how the fuck do they turn Roman baby after this?
Yeah.
And it'd have to be organic. Hey, we just found a way.
Yeah.
I forgot that you had even mentioned that. That is what I expect. I expect at the end of this match, after the end, and the pyro and the confetti and the pomp and the circumstance and Cody and everything, and it all goes away, I think we will get the corner graphic. Copyright Papa H, and we'll think it's over, and the camera will be on the fallen Roman Reigns, and then either rising from the ashes, or if he's untouched, which I can't imagine, but if he's untouched for some reason, rising from the commentary table will be the Rock, because it will be exactly as Seth laid it out, that I gave you all of this on a gold platter and you still couldn't take out the American Nightmare. So then rock bottom to Roman Reigns, fade to black, and raining down, no pun intended, booze from Philly as fade to black. Roman goes away, Rock goes to make a movie, and at some point when Rock has a break, we build to what I've heard is Rock and Cody in the second half of 2024 at a time and date to be determined. And then, like Jarrett said, then you bring in Roman and then we build the 41 and holy shit, it's a completely different story.
And can you imagine in that scenario where post-match, you know, well, first of all, well, Heyman's going to be losing his mind. Can you imagine him going apoplectic if the Rock just buries Roman at the end of it?
Right. And Paul just said tonight he's got a whole bunch of more disrupting to do, because if Roman goes away and Rock goes away, you got to give Paul something to do. This is going to be one exhausting weekend, and it's 11:30 as we're about to wrap up, and I'm already exhausted.
So Central time, to be specific.
Well, yeah, we're all Central time. So I guess the best way to wrap up is the way we always do. Final weekend thoughts. Well, yeah, can't say final weekend thoughts because we're going to be on Saturday and Sunday, but final thoughts for Friday.
Yep, biggest show of the year. We all look forward to Mania quite a bit, and I think this is going to be nothing less than one of the best Manias of all time, maybe the best Mania. And yeah, but it's going to be a really long weekend. None of us are getting any sleep. We're going to be doing a lot of podcasts, a lot of write-ups, and me, I'm going to be also watching the New Japan stuff over the weekend. So yeah, really long weekend ahead of us, but we love it.
And let's not forget about NXT Stand and Deliver as well. Yeah, in front of all of this.
The brunch pay-per-view.
Right?
So starting at 11 a.m.
Stand and Deliver, or the devil he may take you.
Yeah. Stand and Deliver happens. We get, 2 hours off, and then it's the WrestleMania kickoff.
So yeah, I'm not watching the kickoff.
I might just have it on in the background as I do some things. But I'm going to try and get some sleeping in action going on tomorrow so I can function through 10, 11 hours of wrestling tomorrow.
9 hours.
Yeah.
And a press conference each night.
Oh, right. And the press conference.
And a podcast. And a partridge in a pear tree. Yeah. You know that feeling when a pay-per-view ends and you're so amped you can't go to sleep? Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to podcast.
Why sleep when we can talk more?
Yep.
All right. Well, I will not have any final thoughts other than to say perhaps the match that steals the show is going to be Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. It just could happen. All right. Well, until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.